Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Tonight's show from Danger Danger, Ted Poley. From the Talking Metal Forums, Eric Kluber. And Rick DeLuca of Spread Eagle. And now, your hosts, John and Mark.
Thank you, but friendly. Yes, thank you. Yeah, Eric, also from the band Gypsy Hawk, by the way.
Correct.
Yes.
Formerly of Overloaded.
Yes, correct. We are listening to a little Bill Ward. This is off the Ward 1 Along the Way record, and it features the one and only Ozzy Osbourne on vocals. We're going to get into this in just 1 second. John, how you been? All right?
I've been doing great, Mark. It's great to be back here on Talking Metal Live.
Yes, it is. And we'll also be podcasting this, of course, in the near future. But for the time being, we are just going out live over the Live 365 stream located on markstriegelradio.com. It's a stream A that you'll see there. And so let's get ready to rock. We'll hear a little Bill Ward right now, followed by Motorhead, and then we're going to come back and talk some metal with you guys. Thanks again for joining us on Talking Metal Live.
We'll be right back. Remember, bombers.
Talking Metal Live. And now, your hosts, currently cleaning pizza out of their teeth, Mark and John.
It's good. The pizzas, they're mini square pizzas.
Yeah, I like these square pizzas. It reminds me of some of the pizza I get back in Pennsylvania. It's really good. It tastes great.
Squares.
It's called Lazar's.
Very good. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal Live. It's great to be back with you guys. And things are just, I think, maybe taking a turn here at Talking Metal. I updated the RSS for the
first
time.
Congratulations.
On my own, thanks to John. We have revised the site. It's now simplified. It's a blog, a website. And we hopefully will, you know, get back to doing more podcasts, which brings me to what we've been talking about on the forums, guys, the pros and cons of talking metal, not to be confused with hitchhiking.
Right.
Roger
Remember
Waters.
That movie?
Yeah. That was
and
a
record.
Movie?
Record.
Was it a
record?
I don't remember the movie.
It may have been the, you know what I was thinking of? The Hitchhiker. I do know the Roger Waters album, but one of the great shows was The Hitchhiker. That was on HBO, I believe.
I was just talking to my wife about this the other day. No one hitchhikes anymore.
Correct. That was a 70s thing.
Yeah, I think it was even before then, because my grandfather used to hitchhike, you know, across the country. But yeah, no one does that anymore.
Yep.
Wonder why.
There's a lot of maniacs out there and killers and stuff, so I guess that's why. Hey, which brings us to New York news. Have you guys heard any updates on the Long Island serial killer?
No, I have not.
I have. Have you heard Bud Friendly?
No, I haven't, but I enjoy cereal every morning for breakfast.
Yeah, I hate to mention this, but the last I heard was that there were possibly two suspects, and I'm very sad to report that these two people of interest, maybe they were not considered suspects, were actually involved in the law enforcement. Now, I'm not saying that because you guys know I am 100% pro-police, but that's what I heard on New York News.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me, but who knows? Hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it. Let's jump over to the pros and cons of talking metal. On the forums, we have a lot of people checking in with what is currently right and wrong about talking metal. And Chief Beck,
first, the pros.
Yeah, well, Chief Beck checked in. Sometimes I feel you guys hold back on your comments. I understand you have to be tactful about some things, but... And then, let's see... I think more off-the-cuff remarks and opinions would liven things up a little bit. What do you think about that?
He's probably right, but on the other hand, usually...
An off-the-cuff opinion about that comment? He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah. By the way, you told me to start with pros,
back.
Which I started
yeah,
with cons.
With a con. No, you know what? It's true that I think people want to hear our honest opinion, and in my case, I do give my honest opinions, but usually we only have people on Talking Metal that we like, and
right.
We only book people that we like, so we're generally going to have good opinions about the people we talk about on Talking Metal.
Yeah.
As opposed to like booking somebody and then as soon as they're off the air going, boy, that guy stinks. You know, we really don't generally do that.
Now, I know he also pointed out that he likes the Talking Metal on location while drinking. And a lot of, I think, people have maybe wondered, because I've actually been doing more podcasts than you, John, if we're not doing as many of those because of you. And I actually think that's more because of me. It's just nearly impossible for me to get a night out with two babies at home. And,
right.
You know, this is a rare thing here to have me out. And I've never once, in your defense, called you and said, let's go down to Rudy's Bar and Grill and, you know, do a podcast and had you come back and say no.
Right.
So,
well, thank you for defending me.
Oh, no, I think, you know, in time, hopefully we will get back to those. Those definitely, I remember Xavier when we were, you know.
Yeah, that was funny.
With down, what was that bar, 119?
Is yeah, that, yeah, 119 bar.
Yeah.
That was a
so
classic.
Many good times hanging out at the bars and definitely
those
a circus
are fun.
Bar.
Yeah, I'm thinking that at some point we'll do some of those podcasts again. But like you said, you've got a lot of responsibility now, and you've got two children at home and a wife. And, you know, you guys know that I have about four different jobs, including Talking Metal. And it's just a little hard these days to do it. So that's why we love getting together, talking metal live. And we really just will jump at any chance that we can to physically get together and do podcasts. We're going to do some podcasts where we're not in the same place. And now that we have the new website, you know, we're going to try all kind of cool things, like maybe throwing up little mini podcasts and putting up other little comments and news stories in that homepage. So we got a lot of stuff, you know, coming at you.
Exciter checks in and says he really misses and enjoys more than, actually he doesn't say he misses them, but he says he tends to like the longer format shows where we do retrospective type interviews. By the way, guys, if you haven't noticed, I'm sick. It's like cold. Sorry about the voice, but, he likes it like the Carmine Rob Halford, the Dokken stuff, where we really talk about the old days. He really liked that Carmine interview that we did. I think we've had Carmine on a couple times.
Two times. He's great. He's a great guest. I mean, he's had so much history. It's, you know, we love doing those type of interviews, and we like doing interviews with young, new musicians as well. And, you know, like I said, we're going to get back into things. We got a revitalized website, and that's going to allow us to do a lot more. We figured out how to do podcasts where Mark is at his place and I'm at my place, so that's cool. We're still going to do Talking Metal Live, and then we're going to try to throw some of these, you know, hanging out at bar podcasts.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get back to that.
And by the way, guys, I'm a little bit sick too. I've had a swollen shut eye for the last few days. It's actually opened up now. It kind of opens up, you know, in the afternoon, and then by the morning it's completely swollen shut again. So taking medication, and hopefully in a week I will be back to normal.
Now we have Sergeant Politeness.
I have no health problems to report.
That's good to hear, bud friendly. Sergeant Politeness has checked in on the forums, and he's states that he just no longer downloads the podcast because of the guests and possibly the way it's evolved. Just a lot of people I'm not interested in.
Is this still a pro?
No, this is a
con.
I'm focusing more on the cons here. I love the podcast that was two guys shooting the shit about their favorite bands. A talking metal toast. Good idea.
We'll do one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
We're drinking Heineken Light here. So he loved the podcast that was two guys shooting the shit about their favorite bands. I think some of your success changed the way you guys approach the show, as I suppose it should. I tell you, I feel like, if anything, it's been the lack of success.
The success has changed me in countless ways. Yes,
you're bud-friendly.
I've noticed your dress has
got
changed.
A monocle and a top hat, and I'm still as stoned as ever.
Right, there you go. The success. I can tell you one thing, we don't make any money at this. It's quite the opposite. So I don't know. There was the little fuse thing. I don't think that changed things, in my opinion.
No.
And if you listen to the most recent shows, and maybe people don't like that we've had, you know, Barren Earth on or something like that, but we do enjoy, at least I enjoy, some melodic death metal, but in general we play the old shit. We play stuff that's more, you know, straight ahead metal, if you will.
Who's that one from?
That was from Sergeant Politeness.
That's what I thought. Sergeant
Politeness. You can call an ass because he doesn't listen to the show anymore.
Right.
Anyways,
is he on here, or are you reading like his forum post?
I'm reading his forum post.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what, Sergeant Politeness, in case you happen to ever hear this at some point when the podcast is, you know, when you download one, I mean, I think you do have a point that, you know, we used to have a lot of fun doing this, and we still do, but maybe it's changed a little bit. I think a lot of it has to do with our jobs and our personal family lives and stuff like that. Like I was saying, and like Mark said, with his family and with me with four jobs. And, you know, it was great when we were just doing the Fuse show and, you know, we didn't have to go to work every day and do other things. But, you know, that didn't last, you know, that long, and we all have to go out and make a living, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And in his defense, Sergeant Politeness came back a day later and said, after rereading my post, I want to say that I think TM is getting some great guests. Okay. I don't want to imply the quality wasn't there. I appreciate the hard work you and John put into the show. I just might not be into every podcast.
Sounds like he's sobered up.
there you go.
That's a total valid point, and I think that's very good. And guys, you know, I don't regret anything that's happened to Talking Metal through the years. And, you know, I'm very happy that after the Fuse shows, Talking Metal went on to do actually 7 episodes of Headbangers Ball, which was great. That's an MTV2 show, my favorite show growing up. And, you know, in fact, we were on 7 episodes of Headbangers, and we only did 7 episodes of the Fuse show.
Yeah, so. Well, the Fuse, I mean, the Headbangers things, though, were throw. I mean, they weren't, like, full episodes. They were just little
30-second
clips, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that is a good point. I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. Fleisch Gerusch. He, from Germany, checking in. Flesh Garouche. Anyways, he would like it if we skip the music-based episodes. There's enough music content out there. Find some new or more extreme bands. The Casey Chaos interview was a highlight for him. Cool.
Well, that's good.
Get those people in front of the mic. Do specials on different styles and or history of metal. Do specials on different bands. Start an episode spanning quest like the Hunt for the Metallica interview. I like that idea. Reduce solo episodes to a minimum. John/Mark talk is definitely one of your strong points. It doesn't even have to be about metal. Oh, okay.
That's cool. You know, all these opinions are great. Right?
Bring back the jams, but with new people, which I would love to do. Yeah. And I thought, why don't we have a jam here on the live show today, which we've done in the past. But quite frankly, the jams are just, they take so much preparation in advance to do them the old way that we did when we were doing the Fuse show. But it's a good idea. And I would, you know, in the past, we have done a few acoustic live performances here at the Don't worry, I'm alive.
Mark is okay. He's
yeah,
not dead.
Just a strange burp type of thing happened.
Little square pizzas.
Yeah, there you go. We have done some live stuff here at the Bionic Studios, but and I think we should get back to that. You know, maybe we should have Q-Ball and Bumblefoot come and Dan Lorenzo jam some songs with us here in the studio. That would be fun.
Is there any way that we can ever do like an electric thing in here?
I don't know.
JD is saying yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
We can do...
JD, the engineer with us here tonight at Bionic, is saying yes. So who knows?
Let's do it. Sounds good.
Let's do it. We'll make it work.
Stay tuned, Germany.
Yeah. Metallica _87, who is currently in the forums. How are you, dude? The live shows. He loves those. They're highly entertaining, not only to listen to, but to participate in the chat.
Which we are doing today.
Yeah. I especially love the episodes where you and John drink a little too much and have some drunken fun.
You know, those are fun, but like, again, it's hard to do that now.
Stay tuned. It's happening tonight.
Another pro, Bud, on the live shows. I don't know if he's referring to Bud that he has or Bud Friendly.
I think he's referring to Bud Friendly.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
That's definitely a pro.
Yeah, perfect comedy relief and can bring some more insight into different opinions into the interviews that aren't always brought in. Very good, very good. And he goes on a lot of stuff. Cons, the level of activities here on the forums lately. Yeah, we've spoken about that. You know, I do think the forums has gotten quieter for sure. But it's like Spinal Tap says, right? It's not
more selective.
It's
becoming more selective.
Yeah, so there you
go.
Our
fans are more selective.
Yeah, there you go. The Talking Metal fans are definitely becoming more selective. And that's okay. And
speaking of Spinal Tap, did you know that Ian Faith used to live in Hoboken?
No. Who?
Ian Faith, the manager of Spinal Tap.
Oh, okay.
His real name is Tony Hendra. Yeah. I believe he used to live in Hoboken.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is a great fact.
And Dr. Love, of course, checking in, saying that having two kids myself, can't understand how you managed to put up Talking Metal and Mark Striegel show. Man, it doesn't cost us a dime either. So he doesn't want to complain at all. So,
cool.
So thanks for all your comments, guys. I know I skipped some. I didn't hit everyone. And you guys in the forums are definitely our fan base, even though apparently some of you no longer download the podcast.
Right.
We appreciate your support. And hope to have you back as listeners on the Talking Metal podcast real soon.
Yeah, so anyway, why don't we do something where You throw out something, Mark, something that happened in metal recently, and let's just talk about it. Anything that comes to the top of your head?
I would like to also point out that Velvet Roses is in the chat room while currently being in class in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I'm going to type her a little message right now.
DJ Weiser checked in the chat room. I love Bud. He is always awesome. I love your podcast. Thank you, DJ Weiser, who also does his own show, which we...
Thank you, DJ Weiser.
Yes.
You're awesome, too. Always.
So what has happened in metal recently?
Yeah. Anything?
Well, there's always stuff happening, of course. We... let's see. We could talk about...
I have a confession to make. It's really bad. I missed the most recent Rammstein show at the Meadowlands. They played about a week or two ago. And that's really bad that I missed it because they are great. But I did just see them at the Garden like a couple of months ago. So, guys, if they come to your town, you cannot miss it because it's a very rare occasion that Rammstein tours, you know, in the U.S. They do more touring in Europe and other countries. So, if you get a chance to see Rammstein on this current tour, please go.
I guess, you know, they the one thing is Dio now has been gone for over a year.
Wow.
Which
that's hard to believe.
A lot of people talking about. So that's kind of interesting. And I think the final new song probably we're going to hear from Dio appeared recently on the new album by The Rods.
Correct, which I just recently got.
Yeah, it's actually right here. It's sitting in front of me. It's called The Rods Vengeance. I don't know if we're going to get to it today, but definitely check it out. Ozzy Osbourne has re-released The Blizzard of Oz and I guess Diary of a Madman.
Now tell me exactly what the story is on that, because I actually don't know.
Yeah, there's like some documentary stuff about it, and he's you know, bonus footage, documentary stuff up on YouTube, and he is re-releasing the original versions of it.
That's what I was going to ask.
The original Max Norman mix, and it's also the original Bob Daisley and Lee Kerslake instrumental parts, which had been removed, which Ozzy again in his book said he was very much against and didn't agree with. So shouldn't be too much of a surprise that those are coming out with the original tracks.
Right, that's cool.
He also says in his book not to get a vasectomy.
He does say that, yes.
It doesn't quite shape up to the way it used to be.
No, that's what he says, yeah. That's what he says. Good point. And
Sharon's had his balls the whole time anyway, so it didn't matter.
Right. Well, if you read the book, actually she hasn't. There were a few, he strayed a few times from her through the years. So once actually thinking that he'd contracted AIDS during one of his affairs.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Didn't he take a test and it came back that he had AIDS?
Yeah, the test got messed up and it came back that he had AIDS or HIV, I guess.
Yeah,
and,
that's crazy.
So Ozzy Osbourne. I'd love to get him on the show again at some point. Although tonight, Ted Poley, Eric from Gypsy Hawk, and Ron DeLuca from
Rick DeLuca.
Rick DeLuca from Spread Eagle. So.
Just, I'm sure you're still just distraught over the Arnold Schwarzenegger Maria Shriver story.
Yes,
distracted.
So, what do you think about that?
Good friend of Axl Rose.
I keep imagining them in happier times, but I, for some reason, just keep seeing He-Man and Skeletor. I can't picture them at all.
Yeah. Well, he went a little Bill Cosby crazy, I guess, had a kid, you know, on the side and covered it up. But, you know, I don't know what to make of it. I know Arnold was the man who personally called Axel and convinced him to do a song for, what was that, End of Days? Was that the movie?
Yeah. End of Days.
It was the only song Axel released between
that was, Oh My
Spaghetti
God,
Incident
right?
and Chinese Democracy. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Not including, of course, the leaks. But so how about we get into some music right now? Don Dokken, a little Dokken, George Lynch, Mick Brown, Jeff Pilson.
Classic Dokken.
Yeah, Into the Fire, a great, great song. Talk about your earliest Dokken memories, John.
My earliest Dokken memories is that a friend of mine, his name was Mike Corsi, was a big George Lynch fan, and I saw the Break in the Chains video.
Ah, yes.
What is the video where George Lynch, when he was going to play the guitar solo, broke his...
Was that breaking the chains?
Yeah. He like pulled off of a wall.
He broke the chain.
Yeah, exactly. So that was great. And I remember George Lynch had that two-tone hair. It was like blonde
mullet
on top.
Two-tone.
And then right after that, I remember the video where they were on the back of the flatbed truck.
That would have been two albums later.
Right?
That was It's Not Love, right?
Under Lock and Key.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a thing, I guess, on that third album where they all suddenly had super like rock big hair and stuff like that. The first couple albums they really didn't, but then they had a third album. They come out with some crazy, at the time it was the coolest look, you know?
Yeah.
So I like Dokken. I think what's neat about Dokken is not only were they kind of a band that was in that 80s metal kind of a category, but they were great musicians. Like George Lynch still, to me, I think is one of the greatest heavy metal guitar players of all time.
Definitely. This is Into the Fire by Dokken.
Your eyes, they beckon me. Your lips, they
This is Talking Metal Live. Now, Mark and John.
Little Sunset Superman off the Dream Evil album by Dio. Today's date, May 17th, 2011. We lost Dio May 16th, 2010. Wow. Yeah, boy. In some weird way, to me, it feels longer than a year. I don't know why.
You know, for me, it feels shorter than a year.
Really? Okay.
I can remember exactly where I was when I heard the news. I think you called me or somebody else. I think maybe Mike Lincoln texted me, and then I called you up, and you had heard it. And then I talked to Ace a couple of minutes later, and he was like, wow, that's really sad. And he had heard it, so.
Was Ace a fan of Dio?
I think
Dio?
He was, yeah, because he was like, man, did you hear what happened to Dio? Like, yeah. And, you know, you might not necessarily think that Ace might be up on all that. And
although they were both, like, you know, hard rocker guys back in the
back
70s.
In the 70s, right,
know,
so. Yeah. So he definitely, you know, was touched and he was saddened by that.
Such a an amazing talent. I do feel like I listened to the song on the Rods record. I forgot the name of it, but let me see if it says here. Yeah, The Code, it's called. That his vocal had definitely in the last few years, or maybe it was only the last, you know, 2 years, had definitely sounded a little different to me. Not quite as that like a ripping aggressive edge that he had on Sunset Superman, which he was probably already like 40 in his 40s by that point, early 40s, was if not, let's see, or if not older, that aggressive edge, I think I felt like even when I saw Heaven and Hell live, I felt like there was that just tearing sound to his vocals that he didn't have those last few years. A lot of people disagree with me because they're like, oh, he sounded just like he did, you know, in Unholy Diver. I don't know. I don't think he did. And I wouldn't expect that he would at that age, you know.
Right.
But definitely still such a great songwriter. The you know, some of the stuff he put out. I mean, the Heaven and Hell stuff was great. But I actually thought he put out a lot of great music later in his solo career, like One More for the Road, which was off of, what album was that off of? That was off of, that was off of, I don't have it on my iPod. I'm trying to think of his last record.
Just like when we were talking about the old talking videos, at that same time, I had some of my best metal memories and some of the Dio videos.
Master of the Moon,
yeah. I just love some of those old videos. Like, I think Last in Line was just such a great video. They had that little kid. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I remember Dio, I believe they were on Rock Palace. Did we ever talk about the show Rock Palace?
Yeah, they were. They did, what did he do
they
on
did
Rock
Palace? Did Man
Man
on a Silver Mountain?
No, I thought, yeah, yes. He did Stand Up and Shout, I believe Rainbow in the Dark, and then I feel like he did a little Heaven and Hell, Man on the Silver Mountain medley, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know.
Although maybe it was just Man on the Silver Mountain.
That was back with Vivian Campbell. What was the deal between him and Vivian Campbell?
Yeah, well, they obviously did not see eye to eye after Vivian left the band, and Vivian always tended to, you know, downplay or even talk down the work that he did on with Dio.
Wow, that's weird.
And you know, those, especially those first two records. I mean, I even liked, you know, the Sacred Heart record, which I believe he played on and then left after that and did not tour. But those three records were just so great. I mean, really, I'm looking at, you know, a list of all the Dio solo records right now, and they were all so incredibly strong. Dream Evil, Lock Up the Wolves, two great records. I remember Lock Up the Wolves was one of the first CDs I ever bought.
Wow, that's cool.
That came out in 1990. Houses of the Holy was the first one I bought, and I believe Prince 1999 and Lock Up the Wolves were like two of the second and third CDs.
You know, my first CD was Kiss Asylum.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, for some reason that was the only CD that was available by Kiss, and then later on other ones came out. But yeah, for a while, I think the only CD that was available was Kiss Asylum.
So that was an interesting record, because that was Kiss Asylum had
Tears Are Falling.
Tears Are Falling. And what else?
Let's look it up. It started out with King of the Mountain.
Yes, that which was an awesome yeah, song.
And a great little drum intro by Eric
Radar
Carr.
For Love was on there All Night.
All Night, yeah. Right.
Yeah, Love is a Deadly Weapon. A lot of great stuff on that record, though. Who Wants to Be Lonely was an
excellent song.
Yeah,
that was a cool tune.
Yeah, I thought a much better record than Crazy Nights.
You know, it was different. I happened to really like the Crazy Nights time because I saw Kiss a bunch of times on that tour, and that was when, you know, I first met you up at Berkeley, and we went around to shows and stuff. But I, you know, again, I liked all that 80s Kiss stuff, like from, you know, Lick It Up, Animalize, Asylum, Crazy Nights, Hot in the Shade. But I think we got a caller.
Yeah, we got Eric on the line. You can put Eric through if you're listening. Let me put him through. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. How are you, man? Thanks for checking in with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just on route to Madison, Wisconsin from St. Paul, St. Paul.
Erica, it's John. Do you have a gig coming up tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, we're playing tonight. A place called The Annex in Madison, Wisconsin. So, yeah, we're on route right now.
Excellent. Great. So, Eric, just for the Talking Metal listeners who have no idea what band we're talking about right now, let's talk about your new band. If you can tell us the name of the band and a little bit of history behind the band. I know a lot of our listeners know you from White Wizard and also Overloaded, but who are you playing with right now?
Yeah, right now I'm playing guitar for Gypsy Hawk. And Gypsy Hawk's been around since about 2008, and it was put together by Eric Harris and Andrew Packer. And Eric used to play bass for Skeleton Witch. And like I said, I believe it started around 2008, and it put out a record on Creator Destructor, a label based around San Francisco, called Patience, Perseverance. And I've been with the band for 3 months now, and we're doing what I believe is their fourth U.S. tour. It's my first with the band, and it's a completely DIY underground tour. And you know, we're going out on our own and playing all kinds of cities, and it's just set up through contacts that people within the band have made over the years. It's been going outstanding. I don't know exactly what number we're on right now. I think we're on our 10th or 11th show at this point. Up a little bit. And as far as the sound goes, it's a bit, it's like very 70s influenced with a lot of the rock band with a punk metal delivery.
Very cool. And the vibe, I know it, in some of you, actually the last project you were in, I kind of, when we hung out and partied with you, I kind of got the rest of the vibe that the rest of the band really wasn't partying that much. And I know John and you and myself were sitting there drinking beers, and I felt like the other guys were kind of frowning on us. Is it a totally different vibe in this band?
Definitely. Yeah. This tour is called the Defenders of Good Times tour.
Good. Good.
And basically, you know, we get our shit done. We get to every show on time and load in all our gear and play a kick-ass set, and then we party our ass off. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah. And why not? I mean, because if you're delivering the goods, why not have a good time while you're doing it? You know,
right.
It's like
as long as it doesn't affect the performance.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's one of the differences in Gypsy Hawk, you know? And so we've been having a great time playing all kinds of different shows. Some of the clubs have been kind of your standard clubs for touring bands. Those have been in like San Francisco and Portland and Seattle. And we've also played a lot more of like off the beaten path type of clubs. But it's not a club. We played like a basement party in Missoula, Montana.
That's cool.
We played like an art gallery that had a live music room. And every single one of these shows, it's been incredibly well attended. It kind of blew my mind because, like I said, it's all underground and DIY style as far as how it was put together. No booking agents, you know, no management, nothing like that. Just straight from the band. And these guys have done, you know, three tours previously. It's either three or four, and so they've built up a good foundation. But they have a really solid underground buzz, and so we play with a lot of bands that are just really on track and fit the style of Gypsy Hawk, and we find a lot of people are just really hungry to see this band and been buying the fuck out of our merch. It's really been just blowing my mind. I mean, we're almost sold out of merch, and we're only like 2 weeks in.
That's awesome, man. Cool. Congratulations.
And we're going to play some music by Gypsy Hawk in just a few minutes here, but I wanted to ask you how you would personally describe stylistically the style of Gypsy Hawk.
Well, the style, if you really break it down, it's incredibly complex. They put a lot of thought into the songs. There's a lot of key changes. The riffs are played only a few times, you know, rather than just having a verse, chorus, bridge, or a verse, bridge, chorus. There'll be, you know, 8, 10, 12 riffs every song. But you'll never notice it just by listening casual, which is a real perfection as far as, you know, the songwriting art they have down. Stylistically, like I said previously, it has a lot of influences within the rock genre, meaning a lot of 70s rock bands. And I mean, there's so many. And a lot of the more obscure 70s rock. In fact, one of our friends in a band called Glitter Wizard that we performed with in San Francisco made us a mixed CD, and we've been listening to it like every day of just like a lot of obscure 70s songs. And these guys really know that field. At the same time, everyone comes from a metal background. So as far as the delivery and like the tone and stuff like that, there's a punk rock metal delivery as far as the attitude and energy.
Cool.
Sums it up.
Excellent. So where is the best place for the Talking Metal listener to check you guys out online? Is there a MySpace page or website they can go to?
Well, the Facebook, you know, it's Facebook page, which is simply Gypsy Hawk USA. There is a Bandcamp page, which is, it's not bandcamp.com/Gypsy Hawk. They do it differently. It's actually, you know, Gypsy Hawk /Bandcamp.com. And that one, that site has like 9 songs streaming up there. There's also, I believe, almost all the songs are up on YouTube. There's live versions, and there's almost all the studio versions are on YouTube as well. So there's the Facebook page and the Bandcamp page are great places to check it out. And I think there's a Reverb Nation page. It's hard to keep track with all the sites out there.
I know. Eric, I wanted to touch on something that I don't know if we already hit, but where is the band based out of? And did you have to move again?
No. The band is based out of Pasadena, California.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I live in Hollywood, so it's like a 30-minute drive, you know?
Very good. Is that north, or is Pasadena north of Hollywood?
It's like northeast.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm glad you didn't have to move like cross country again.
Yeah, I know. It's been an interesting year with all these different bands and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I was playing with a band called Scattered Hamlet, and it was going great. And I went to South by Southwest with them, but I had seen Gypsy Hawk perform a number of times. And when I heard about the opportunity to audition for them, I told myself I at least owed it to go out and audition to meet the guys and just to see how it went. And that was actually on Valentine's Day, which is kind of funny because it's sort of like a free day for a lot of musicians, you know?
Right, right.
And we went out, and the audition, the jam just went awesome, you know? They had me learn like 5 tunes, and we went to an hourly rehearsal space that they go to in Pasadena, and it went awesome. And they kind of said, hey, man, you know, what do you think about joining the band? I was like, and I told them, well, hey, let me think about it because I have just been performing with another band recently. But I thought about it and I made my decision.
Great.
Well, good for you. And
yeah,
from what I've heard of the band, I think it's a great decision. And we encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to check you guys out when you come through their town, you know, on this tour, or on the next tour, or whenever. But definitely do yourself a favor and check out Eric and his band Gypsy Hawk. The newest member of Gypsy Hawk. And we were going to play Guidance. Is that a good song, you think? Or
yeah, it's a great tune. I mean, there's...
Guidance a lot myself, but I just wanted to make sure that was cool with you, or if there was a better one you'd rather us play.
Yeah, play Guidance. Commander of the High Forest is another killer tune if you have time for two of them.
Okay. Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Excellent.
Eric, thanks very much, man, for hanging out again with us. You're one of our favorite guests, our good friends. We had the opportunity to hang with you, which was awesome, and just want to say thanks again.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
And hey, cool. Eric, one quick question. You ever hear from Chris Gillen, the guy with that great voice from Michigan?
Yeah, man. I talked to him all the time. I talked to him a few days ago, and he just had a baby.
Oh, great.
He's still gigging out in the Detroit area, and he's in a number of projects. And, you know, I mean, there was talk that he was going to audition for a couple of national acts, but it didn't quite work out with the timing of his wife having a baby. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, I always feel bad because I did an interview with him and then we never aired it on Talking Metal, but just because I felt unprepared and I felt the interview was a complete disaster on my end. So if you ever talk to him and he has a new project that he's promoting that falls under the metal genre, tell him to definitely get in touch with me because he's a great voice and people should know about him.
Definitely. No problem, man. I'm sure I'll be talking to him the next couple days.
Cool. And this is Gypsy Hawk on Talking Metal. Thanks, Eric. Good luck with your gigs.
Take care, buddy. We'll be right back.
around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.